Our heart to you.
Amen.
We do need you this morning.
Yes.
We do depend on you.
Amen.
We trust in you.
Yes.
That you would speak.
Amen.
Oh Lord, anoint your word.
Amen.
Anoint our ears.
Amen.
Lord, how we pray that we might hear you speaking.
Amen.
We pray in your precious name.
Amen.
Amen. First of all, I owe all of you an apology. We have a portion here of Titus 2 with 15 verses, and I'm only going to cover 5. To me, this is my record. But anyway, I corrected it the other way. We have 12 portions of the word. But I have to confess, I have this burden for years. What burden? The family in relation to the church. So I feel this is the opportunity, because this portion speaks of older men, older women, young women, husband, and children. Now you tell me if that's not the family. Well, you may say, really, it's a family in the church. Well, okay, but you know, the family is so crucial in the church.
Amen.
All the families in the church are crucial. The church is not made up of single people. It's made of all different kinds of people. And so that's why we want to share about this. So in writing chapter 1, Titus had a strong, very strong burden concerning the church. So therefore, in chapter 1, he spoke of the proper order and setting up elders to have the proper administration of the local church. And then to finish all the various isms that are not according to the apostles' teaching, and to hold the healthy teaching of the apostles. Then in chapter 2, he goes on to speak of an orderly human life, the family life. And after speaking of the church and the family life, Paul goes on to charge the slaves to behave well in the social system of slavery. Finally, in chapter 3, Paul speaks of the rulers, that is, the government.
Amen.
So here we have a number of things in these 3 chapters. We have the church, we have the family, we have society, and we have government. But the last 3 are related to the church. You might say, how come? The church is as strong as the family is. And surely in society, the members of the body must be those who are an example. And then, concerning government, members of the body must be law-abiding members. So we can see how all this is related. Then we come to verse 2. Exhort older men. That's some of us. To be temperate. Temperate means to have self-control. Not so easy for aged men. It is so easy for us to lose our temper, to become impatient, to become offended by things that, as young people, never bothered us. So we need to be temperate. Also, we need to be grave. Grave implies dignity and inspires respect. So this is what we should be in the church life, this kind of men. And then not only that, we must have a sober mind. A sober mind is also mentioned concerning older women, young women, and younger men. So to be a sober mind means to be sensible and to be discreet in understanding. We all need a sober mind. Not a hot one, not a cold one, but a sober one. And then, the aged men are to be healthy in faith. Here, the word faith refers to our believing ability. How can the aged men be healthy in faith? We need to be in the organic union with the Lord and to be in the Word. Then not only will our faith be healthy, automatically our love will be healthy. What does it mean to be healthy in love in relation to the church life? Well, Philippians tells us, Philippians 2:2 tells us that we should have the same love. And also, 1 Corinthians 12:25 tells us if we don't have the same care for one another, there will be a division in the church. So we need the healthy love. But not only that, we need to also be healthy, us older men, in endurance. I don't know how close we can come to each other personally. Us older ones, it's not easy to endure. It's much easier to give up. But we cannot give up. We need to go on. Then that brings us to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. If we are this kind of older men, what happens? What happens is we will not provoke our children to anger. This is the most damaging thing parents can do to their children. When you provoke them to anger, you stir up their flesh. Nothing good can come out of that. But if we are the right kind of elder men, we will not do that because that damages the children. So parents should not lose their temper, but rather let their temper be under the cross. Then there will be no problem in the family. But then the fathers are to nurture them in the discipline an admonition of the Lord. To nurture means to bring up, to raise up. Parents need to raise up the children by nourishing them. But they also need the necessary instruction. Admonition includes instruction. Instruction in what? In human life. In family life, in social life, in every kind of life. So probably Paul was thinking of the Old Testament commandment to parents to teach the children the Word of God in Deuteronomy 6, 7. So we need, as parents, to teach our children the Bible. It is crucial that parents need to nurture the children in the discipline and admonition of the Lord. Well, that's one side. What about the personal side? We parents need to be an example to our children. Actually, we all know children copy the parents without the parents having to tell them about it. But in John 17, 19, what did the Lord say? He said he sanctified himself for the sake of the disciples. So parents should sanctify themselves for the sake of their children. I think I don't need to mention examples. You can figure how we can be an example to our children. This is the parents' responsibility to set up a high standard, a pattern, an example. But, how the children turn out is up to the Lord's mercy, which means that we parents have to trust the Lord for our children. Then that brings us back to Titus, verse 3. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. Older women likewise to be in demeanor as befits those who engage in sacred things, not slanderers, not enslaved to by much wine, teachers of what is good. Demeanor means deportment and includes gesture and habit. But we have this word sacred. My goodness. That sounds like the Old Testament. What is it talking about? Engage in sacred things. That refers to probably the service in the church. If we are to serve in the church, we better live in a proper way. Then it says that women should not be slanderers. Satan is the great slanderer. And then they should be teachers of what is good. Then verses 4 and 5, that they may train the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be of a sober mind, there's a sober mind again, pure workers at home, good subject to their own husbands, that the word of God would not be blasphemed. So here we see how important the behavior of the women in the church are. I want to repeat, the church is as strong as the testimony of the families in the church. You want to say, well, come on. It's really not the families. It is. Suppose all the spouses are fighting all the time. Where could you have a home meeting, right? So we need to see how important the family is in relation to the church. In the church life, we strongly emphasize the need of a proper family married life. And of course, we desire that the sisters love their husbands and children in an absolute way. This is, as far as I know, the only verse in the whole New Testament that tells women should love their husbands. I guess we husbands should love this verse. But again, with a sober mind. But then, my wife mentioned something here. It says that they had to train, the older women had to train the young women to be workers at home. In those days, wives had it easy. They just worked at home. Nowadays, most sisters have a job outside the home as well. So we realize the sisters, the wives, don't have it as easy as in Paul's time. And then it says that they have a sober mind, they should be pure, workers at home, good, subject to their own husbands. But the end is quite striking, that the word of God would not be blasphemed. So actually our behavior can affect the way people see the Bible, the way people understand the Bible. Why? Because if we believe the Bible, that should change our living, right? And then in verse 6, the younger men likewise exhort to be of a sober mind. So everybody must have a sober mind. Then that brings us to Ephesians 5:22. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Wives are to be subject to their own husband, please notice, as to the Lord. The wives need to realize in the eyes of the Lord, the husband represents the Lord. This is not my idea. This is what the Bible says. So the wives to be subject to their husbands in some things. Everything. But, being subject is different than obeying. For instance, if a husband wants the wife to deny God, to do things against God, to do things immoral, really, they still have to be subject to them, but they don't have to obey. Some time ago, I read a very, very good example. There was this couple. The husband was an unbeliever, and the wife loved the Lord. And one evening, the husband told the wife, "Let's go to the bar and have a drink." So they got into the car, the wife with the husband, and when they got to the bar, the wife said, "You go in, I'll wait for you." See the difference? It's not the same obeying as being subject. But then we come to verse 25. Actually, the Bible is very balanced. Husbands, love your wives. It just doesn't say love your wives. It says love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. Oh, wait a minute. Do husbands have to give themselves up for the wives? That's what the word says. We really need to love our wives in such a way. Then this brings us to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Here Peter tells the wives, if they subject themselves to their own husbands, that even if any disobey the word, they will be gained through without the word through the manner of life of their wives. Wow, that is really amazing. If a wife marries someone who disobey the word, they will be gained without the word by the living of the wives. How important is the living of the wives? That would really be a big help to the husbands who disobey the word. I have to say I was fine until I came to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. This is a difficult verse for us husbands, especially if we are the macho kind, because it says a couple of things here. Husbands, in like manner, dwell together with them, that's their wives, according to knowledge, as with the weaker female vessel. What is this knowledge it's talking about? This knowledge is the realization that the wife is weaker. God made the wife weaker for the sake of the marriage life. You may say, well, where do you get that? Well, imagine, if both the husband and wife are strong, how could that marriage continue? There will be constant fighting. So I was really touched by this. We husbands need to realize the wife is weaker, not just say, oh, my wife is weak. No. Not to look down on the fact that she's weaker, but rather she's weaker so that there could be a proper marriage relationship. If this would be a proper marriage relationship, both should not be equally strong. But then, here comes something even more difficult. Husbands, not only to dwell together with them according to knowledge, assigning honor to them. Wow. Do we husbands assign honor to the wives? Do we? I was really struck by this verse. That's what it says. And this is the word of God. I must say that when it comes to this, I need a little help. Sometimes when I get impatient, when I get upset, I don't assign honor. I take back honor. But that is not right. It is not right if the husbands do not assign at least a certain measure of honor. Now, of course, you don't want to assign too much honor. That would spoil them. Right? But you have to assign a certain measure. And then we need to realize both the husband and the wife are a vessel to contain God. Even if the wife is weaker, she's still a vessel to contain God. And then further on, it tells you that assigning honor to them as also to fellow heirs of the grace of life. The husband and the wife are fellow heirs of the grace of life. The grace of life is God as life and life supply. So then, finally, it says a warning that your prayers may not be hindered. I don't feel we husbands can get around this. If we don't dwell with our wives according to knowledge, if we look down on them, if we don't assign honor to them, if we don't realize the fellow heirs of the grace of life, our prayers may be hindered. We better beware of that. Then that brings us to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Although Titus mentions children only in passing, how could you have a family without children? We need to consider the children. We already mentioned about the parents. It says in Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. We need to notice, it doesn't just say, obey your parents. It says, obey your parents in the Lord. What does that mean? That means that children should obey their parents by the strength, by the enabling of the Lord, not according to their natural life, not according to their self-effort, but according to the Word. And then they should realize that they obey by being one with the Lord. The children obey their parents in the Lord because, for this is right. Actually, that word right could also be translated just. So for the children, for the children to obey the parents is right and is just. Then verses 2 and 3 are more striking. What do they say? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Actually, this commandment in the Old Testament is not only the first commandment with a promise, but is the first commandment in the relationship between men and women. The previous commandments refer to God. But this is really amazing. There is a promise. Now, what is this promise? So here we have a quote from the Old Testament, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Do you want to live long on the earth? We all do. To live long on the earth, we must be those who do what? Who honor our father and mother. It not only says live long, but it also says that it may be well with you. That means that you could have a wealthy situation, you could have riches up to an extent, I guess, as well as longevity. So, how crucial this is. If you want to live a long life, you better obey your parents and honor them. Now, what does it mean to honor? To honor actually is related to an attitude. Honoring is an attitude. It is possible that children obey their parents and yet do not honor them. So I trust the children would honor their parents, have that certain attitude, that certain spirit to obey the parents with honor. Actually, in the Bible, there's no other way that it says you can live long on the earth. To live long on the earth, we need to obey our parents with honor. So this is, again, so crucial. But now I would like to bring the matter of the family to the service in the church. And for this, I would like to use, first of all, the example of Aquila and Priscilla, a marriage that was so useful in the church. So this brings us to Acts chapter 18, verse 1 and 2 and 3. It says, verse 1, after these things, he, that's Paul, departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and having found a certain Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy, and Priscilla his wife, because Claudius had ordered all the Jews to depart from Rome, he, Paul, went to them. Very interesting. Here, Caesar, Claudius, ordered all the Jews out of Rome. Because he did that, Aquila had to go to Corinth, where Paul found him. And you might say, well, so big deal. Verse 3 tells us, and because he, Aquila, was of the same trade as Paul, Paul remained with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. Very interesting. Paul, although he had his ministry, he still worked. He still took care of himself. And we find that in 1 Corinthians 4:12 it says, we labor, working with our own hands. And in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he also says the same thing. But the point I want to bring out is that Claudius, having ordered all the Jews to depart from Rome, actually was something that was used by God to provide Aquila and Priscilla to Paul, who was so useful in the church life. So this is like another Caesar. Caesar Augustus, who ordered all the people to go back to their place of origin for a census. And because of that, the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So again, because Aquila was a tent maker, Paul stayed with him. In verses 24 and 25 of chapter 18, we see Aquila and Priscilla in action. in verse 25, it talks about the way of the Lord. We will mention that a little later. But the point concerning the way of the Lord is that this certain Jew that arrived in Corinth, arrived at Ephesus, he was an eloquent man, he was powerful in the scriptures, but he was only instructed in the way of the Lord up to what? At the end of the verse, he knew only the baptism of John. So that shows that Apollos did not have a complete revelation of God's New Testament economy, although he was instructed in the way of the Lord. So there was a deficiency in the result of his ministry. He could not minister in a complete way because he did not know all of God's economy. And in verse 26, this man began to speak boldly in the synagogue, and when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him to themselves and expounded the way of God to him more accurately. The way of God denotes God's full salvation, God's New Testament economy. It is the way God dispenses himself to the believers through Christ's redemption and the Spirit anointing. It is the way the believers partake of God and enjoy God. It is the way the believers worship God in their spirit by enjoying him and following Jesus, being one with him. It is the way the believers are brought into the church and built up into the body of Christ. So we see how important and how urgent was for Apollos to be helped. Why? Because he was an eloquent man and he could be very useful to the Lord. So in verse 26, it tells us that when Aquila and Priscilla heard them, they took them to themselves, expounded the way of God more accurately. Please notice in verse 26, it doesn't say Aquila and Priscilla, which is the normal way the Bible lists names of a couple. The husband first, the wife second. So what does this mean here? No doubt this means that Priscilla was the one who noticed Apollos' lack. And no doubt Priscilla was the one who suggested to Aquila, let's have him for lunch so we can explain more. So that's why I believe that Priscilla's name goes first. Well, it doesn't mean that Aquila didn't notice, but somehow wives are more sensitive. Many times I notice something in someone, but it's my wife that comes to me and said, we need to invite that person to lunch. But I'm sure that Priscilla didn't do that by herself. Surely Aquila knew about it and agreed. So here we see a couple that was so useful to the Lord. We'll even see more than this. They were one in their service. So I would like to emphasize, especially to the macho brothers, in the service in the church, we husbands must have, I repeat, must have the full cooperation of the wives. What happens if we don't? If we don't, there's frustration, there's hindrance, because suppose a brother wants to come to a meeting, and maybe they even have children, but the wife is not in the mood. Today's not the mood to go to the meeting. How do you think the husband feels? And then maybe at another time the wife says, you spend too much time in the church. You don't worry about the family. You're not concerned about me. How do you think that poor brother can serve in the church? So macho brothers, we need the sisters to provide the support for our service. Then this brings us to Romans 16, verses 3 and 4. Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. I must say, I don't know why here Prisca's name is before Aquila, but the point is they risked their lives for Paul. So here's a point. If we love the Lord, if we love the church, there may be a time we need to risk our lives for the church. And then Paul says that not only he gave thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So we need to consider this. If it ever happens, we need to be those who risk our lives for the church. And then that brings us to verse 5. And greet the church which is in their house. The church which is in their house is the church in Aquila and Priscilla's home. Can you imagine? Not only they had a home meeting, but they had the whole church in their home. That must have been a very, very heavy burden. And yet, they didn't mind bearing such a burden. On the one hand, when they risked their lives for Paul, they were caring for all the churches, all the Gentile churches. On the other hand, when they had the whole church in Ephesus in their home, they cared for the local church where they lived. We need to be likewise, not just caring for our own church, but caring for all the churches. And when Aquila and Priscilla were living in Ephesus, the church in Ephesus was in their house. We read this in 1 Corinthians 16:19. When they were in Rome, the church in Rome met in their house. Here in verse 5, the church which is in their house is the church in Rome. Okay, I'd like to ask a question. Maybe there's a couple, and this couple, the husband is in construction, he's a carpenter, He knows all these things so well. So they have a lovely home. Everything that the husband and wife need is there. Very good. But, what about the atmosphere in the house? Does the husband, with his construction ability, with his carpentry, have the atmosphere? No. It's the wife that sets the atmosphere. Again, how we need the cooperation of the wives. If the husband says, let's have a home meeting, and yet the wife is not for it, I feel sorry for that home meeting. How crucial is the sisters to set the atmosphere in a home? Finally, we have an example of a sister who served in the church in Romans 16, verse 1. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a deaconess of the church which is in Cenchrea. Phoebe was a deaconess, a serving one. But Paul's comment concerning her is quite tremendous in verse 2, that you receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and a sister in whatever matter she may have need of you. For she herself has also been the patroness of many, of myself as well. The term patroness in Greek is a word of dignity, denoting one who helps, sustains, supplies, someone who stands next to you to nourish you, cherish you, care for all your needs. So here we see how much Phoebe was appreciated. Phoebe was a sister who served others at any price, at any cost. So we need to serve in the church in this way. If we lack the heart to care for the church, we are unworthy of the practice of the church life. The first requirement for the practice of the church life is that we serve the church. Sister Phoebe was a patroness of the church. Well, this is as far as we go, but I'm wondering now if after the meeting a group of husbands come to me and they will say, why are you so lopsided in your message? Why is so much in favor of the wives? Well, I would say, brothers, do you want to have peace at home? I have to confess, one of the times that I am the happiest is when I may be studying, I may be working, and I hear my wife singing. Ah, she's happy. Then I'm happy. Then the whole home is happy. We need to consider that. And brothers, do you want your wife to support you in your service? So for that we need 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 7, assign honor to the wife, and especially have the knowledge why she's weaker, and that both of you are fellow heirs of the grace of life. Well, I have a little experience. I've been married for 56 years. In a sense, I'm still learning, but in another sense, I have learned. So I trust that all of us realize how crucial the sisters are in the church life. the wives in the married life, that we would be such families that are a strength to the church life, that are a strength to the church's testimony, to the church's lampstand. Now, I would like to say, after we pray, whatever you want to share is fine. You don't have to share on these five verses. But I have a burden, and it is now released. Now, Brother Dennis will make the announcements.
We have a few important announcements. First of all, the Young People's Conference in the Northeast is coming up this weekend. We will start Thursday night for the first meeting at 7:30 here and go all day Friday and Saturday and Lord's Day. We have about 285 coming from out of town. Praise the Lord. It's really marvelous. We're still short about 40 spaces, so we would ask you to consider whether you could add one or two in your home, or whether if you haven't taken any yet, maybe you could take some more. It would be good to have a place for all of them to stay this weekend. And, you know, after Brother Ed sharing, I realize whenever we're taking hospitality, we brothers have to ask our wives, how many can we take? We don't decide how many we can take. If our wives are happy, the number gets a little higher. So we need to take care of our family situation and that the house would be peaceful and our wives would have the grace to take one or two more, and then I think we can accommodate all of the young people who are coming. Some don't arrive on Thursday night, so if you are not able to take them till Friday night, that's just fine. Or even Saturday night, there may be some college students coming toward the end. So you can let Steve Lynn know, or you can let me know, or Jen Rios know if you can take them, or Andrew. We also want to remind the saints, or let the saints know, that the Anaheim training deadline for registration is May the 1st. There are forms on the counter for Anaheim, so if you are planning to go or would like to go to the summer training, it will be also on the crystallization of Genesis, the last training on Genesis. So please pick up a form and fill it out. We have an announcement. Not all of you maybe would remember Sister Grace Lee, but for many years Sister Grace Lee was with us here in New York and serving the church here, and then she moved to Atlanta to be with her children, and we'd like to let you know that she has gone to be with the Lord last Wednesday, and her memorial service will be held in Atlanta on Wednesday, so we should remember her and remember the family. So now let's pray. How about we pray two by two, and then those going to the language meetings can go. The rest of us can remain here. It would be good if some could come forward and we can have some time for overflow and for prophesying here in English. Amen.